This is your WWE Clash of Champions review for Sunday, September 27, 2020. I am the Solo Monster. Well, that was an interesting pay-per-view. I enjoyed the pay-per-view. I actually thought overall this was a very good pay-per-view. I spoke too soon when I talked about NXT and AEW being bitten by the COVID bug and that it had spared the WWE main roster. I may have jinxed it. Doesn't mean that the people who were not on the show tonight have COVID, but there were some people missing from the pay-per-view. There were some matches we were supposed to get tonight that unfortunately we did not get. Two of the scheduled title matches on tonight's show did not take place, that being the SmackDown Women's title match with Bayley defending against Nikki Cross and the Women's Tag Team Championship match with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending against Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan. That did not happen. Apparently they're going to have some kind of announcement on Raw tomorrow night to explain exactly what the situation is, what the resolution is going to be, or the new match. So hopefully everybody is okay. But hey, thank you for choosing me for your Clash of Champions coverage here tonight. This is going to be a fun stream. We got a lot to talk about. We got a big giveaway coming up. By the way, we also learned the dates for the next WWE draft coming up. We now know that the draft is going to begin on the October 9th edition of SmackDown. It will be ending. It will be concluding on the October 12th episode of Monday Night Raw. Always good to shake up the rosters, I guess. But again, this is not a company that seems to care about drafts, so I don't see what the big deal is. We got a Raw versus SmackDown champion match again tonight on the pay-per-view. Unannounced. Totally pointless. That was probably the single dumbest thing on the entire show. Doing Bayley and Asuka. I guess in their mind, that was a make-good for not doing Bayley and Nikki Cross, and then given what they actually did, they would have been better off not doing anything at all. Got Street Profits a few weeks ago against Cesaro and Shinsuke. What the hell is the big deal about having a draft? So, with all of the changes that took place, it was pretty late in the day when we found out that these two championship matches were not going to take place. It caused a few things to be shuffled here on this show. With all the changes, the Raw Women's Championship match, which was supposed to take place on the kickoff show, was going to be Asuka and Zelina Vega on the kickoff show. Instead, that ended up being bumped to the main card, and the SmackDown Tag Team title match was moved down. It was downgraded to the kickoff show, and that was Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura taking on the Lucha House Party for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Good match. Kalisto, he dove out onto Cesaro on the floor. Cesaro caught him. Lince Dorado then, he came on out, collided with both of them, and that gave Kalisto the momentum he needed to take Cesaro over with a DDT. The finish, this was kind of interesting, the finish was Cesaro giving Kalisto the giant swing into a Kinshasa from Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, it's possible they've been using this move for a while now on TV, and I just never really paid close enough attention. But as a finish, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, in terms of execution here, the timing needs a little bit of work. Timing wasn't exactly perfect on this. It's a bit off, but I thought that was it's a cool finish. If they can perfect it and they can nail it down, I think it's a cool finish for them to use going forward. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. And I talked about this when I did the predictions for this, right? You hear me talk about it on the podcast every week. All right, great. They beat the Lucha House Party. No surprise there. I expected that. Now what? Now what? You got Heavy Machinery. They're busy with some kind of BS lawsuit with Miz and Morrison and Money in the Bank contracts and phony lawyers. Who's left? What other teams are there? They have none. The answer is none. And so you have the same issue with the Raw Tag Team Division. You have the same issue with the SmackDown Tag Team Division. The tag team divisions in this company are dead. They are dead. And I don't know if they're going to try to address that with the draft. You know, the one thing about this draft coming up, they did not mention NXT. So as far as any of us know, NXT is not going to be part of this draft. So I don't know if we're going to get new teams on each brand. If you put one new team on each brand, you have the same problem. The divisions are dead. So it's hard to get excited about any of this stuff. They retain their titles. All right, well, so what? Who cares? Nothing really to get excited about, unfortunately. And, you know, you had that one, you had the Forgotten Sons. They were on SmackDown a while back, and they were taken off TV. I've heard murmurs about them maybe being brought back. I don't know if that's true or not, but even if they come back again, that's one team. One team does not a division make. You're going to have to do better than that. So they got some big problems as far as the tag team division is concerned. The pay-per-view itself opened with a John Cena narrated intro. It is quite amazing, as involved as John Cena was in this company for so long, I'll always bleed WWE. And you always knew he couldn't keep up that schedule forever. And you could kind of tell he was starting to get opportunities in Hollywood and stuff. And it was just almost like a switch got flipped, and John Cena just, it just went from like occasional appearances to no appearances. He just disappeared. And this was the biggest star in the company for what felt like 15 years straight. So now when I hear his voice in a narration package, it's almost like, oh yeah, that's right, John Cena. Whatever happened to that guy? It's just amazing how quickly, you know, his run kind of came to an end and he just quietly stepped away. But good for him. Good for him. He busted his ass for a long time and now he gets to enjoy the fruits of his labor. And we get to move on from the John Cena era. We open, though, with a winner-take-all triple threat ladder match. For the Intercontinental Championship, we had AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, and Sami Zayn. My, oh my, oh my, this match. Where do I even begin with this? This match was absolute insanity. This was one of the two matches on this show I was looking most forward to. It was this match and the Roman Reigns-Jey Uso match. Those are the two matches that I was really interested to see. And they opened the show with this, and they ended with the Roman Reigns match. So I always say, you know, it's kind of how you start, how you finish, and then how they fill things in the middle. It's kind of like, well, you might get a mix of good and bad. They opened and they closed with the best matches on the entire show. They opened and they closed with the best parts of the night. So I can't hate on a show like that. But these guys were out there trying to kill each other. They were out there trying to kill themselves. They took a lot of dangerous risks. But that's in all these ladder matches, and all the Money in the Bank matches, that's all we see, guys taking risks that they don't have to take. And after a while, you just kind of get numb to it. So that really wasn't a surprise. But I have to say, you know, they came up with some innovative spots here that I can't say that I've seen before. And that's not an easy thing to do. We've seen 1,000 ladder matches at this point. And it could be hard after a while to come up with spots that have not been done before. And these guys found a way to do that. Poor Sammy, his back took a beating here, took a lot of abuse. He got shot into the corner at one point, into a ladder that was propped up in the corner. He bounced off of it back first, bounced then onto the top rope, and then bounced off the rope and landed on his head. I don't know how he managed to pull that off, but he looked like one of those bouncy balls in there. Sammy had welts all over his body for the rest of the match. He hit an exploder suplex to AJ Styles onto a ladder. That looked like it sucked. Poetry in Motion by Jeff outside the ring. Propelled himself off the ring steps. AJ was up against the barricade, so he hits the Poetry in Motion. But then here comes Sammy with the Huluva kick, and he sends Jeff into the crowd. Sends him over the barricade. So Sammy is climbing the ladder. Styles is outside, and like a javelin, like a rocket, like he's launching a missile. He grabs, I guess it would be a step stool ladder, little tiny ladder, and he just throws it like a dart into the ring, and it hits Sammy, or it looked like it hit Sammy. It actually hit the ladder, but it made a great sound. And Sammy sold it like he broke his hand. Now, here's where the replay came back to bite them. Because from the main camera angle, we were right behind AJ, it looked like the ladder caught Sammy, and it looked pretty brutal. Then they showed a different view on the replay, and you can clearly see that it didn't hit Sammy. So the replay actually fucked them, because it made it look worse. So if you forget about the replay, it looked pretty devastating. Hardy hit Sammy with a twist of fate, and he starts climbing the ladder. I don't know what happened here. This is one of those things where it looked very messy, but it looked brutal at the same time. Jeff's on the ladder, and Sammy is trying to tip the ladder over. and Jeff would fall backwards. So what Jeff decides to do, he decides to start climbing or sliding down the ladder head first. So I guess what he's trying to do is, you know, put all of his momentum forward so he doesn't go flying backwards. So as he's sliding down the ladder, Sammy is still flipping the ladder out of the ring. It's not stopping Sammy. He's still, he's not an idiot. He's flipping the ladder out of the ring. And Jeff, he takes a header out over the top rope. The ladder comes falling along with him. It looked like the ladder hit him on the way down. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know what he was trying to do. But this looked sickening. We had a ladder bridge on the outside. Sammy was placed across the ladder. It was from the ring apron to the announce desk. And Sami Zayn is laid out on the ladder. Jeff Hardy grabs a bigger ladder. He climbs to the top. I mean, you knew where this was going. He hits a Swanton bomb off the ladder. Ladder breaks. So did Sammy's body. So now they're out. So it looks like AJ's got the match won. He was climbing the ladder. Jeff gets back in. He pushes the ladder over. At this point, they piped in a very fake-sounding This Is Awesome chant, which was completely unnecessary. Sami Zayn, he goes over and he grabs his jacket. He's walking out there every week now looking like Fidel Castro. He's got his jacket out there. He does. He really does. He looks very unkempt. Sami Zayn looks very disheveled. He looks like he's lost a lot of muscle. Not that he ever, I mean, look, Sami Zayn was never a bodybuilder, but even compared to a few years ago, you can kind of tell he's lost a little bit of muscle. I mean, look, he's had shoulder problems. He's had bad shoulders. So who knows how that might affect, you know, what he can lift and how much he can lift. So you look at Sami Zayn and you really don't think much when you look at the guy. But I think he's been very entertaining since he came back. But anyway, he reaches into his jacket. He pulls out handcuffs. And here's where it got a little weird. He takes the handcuffs over to Jeff Hardy. And he puts one end of the handcuffs through the lobe of Jeff Hardy's ear. This is not the first time that poor Jeff Hardy has had his ears abused. I had people tweeting me saying somebody in the company has an ear fetish when it comes to Jeff Hardy. Don't put these images in my head. But he puts the handcuffs through the loop in his earlobe, and he takes the other loop of the handcuffs and he ties him ear first to the ladder. Now, that's something I can honestly say I've never seen that before. I have not seen that before. That was very, I guess, innovative would be the word. I guess that's the word you would use for it. So he gets in the ring. He tries to handcuff AJ Styles to the ring rope, but AJ fights him off. And he takes down Sammy, and AJ goes to climb the ladder. And somewhere in here, I didn't see it, but somewhere in here, Sammy cuffed himself to AJ, and the camera zooms in on Sammy, and Sammy's got a big grin on his face, like a Cheshire cat. So now AJ can't climb the ladder because he's got Sami Zayn tied to his ass like an anchor. Jeff Hardy's on the floor. He has now picked up the ladder. The ladder is like a phone next to his ear because it's connected to his ear. He can't unlock himself. He gets into the ring. He's using the ladder to smack AJ with it. Meanwhile, AJ's on a ladder already. So is Sammy. Sammy pulls out a key, and he uncuffs himself from AJ. He cuffs AJ to the ladder. Jeff can't do a damn thing. And Sami Zayn ascends to the top of the ladder, and he wins the Intercontinental Championship. He pulls down both belts. I gotta say, this was quite the visual, because at one point, you have this image of Jeff Hardy with this ladder attached to his ear. You've got AJ Styles handcuffed to the ladder. And now you've got the image of Sami Zayn on top of this ladder holding up two identical Intercontinental titles, celebrating like he just hit the lottery. It was just this great visual, this great sight. This was probably the wildest ladder match that I've ever seen. I mean, we've seen a lot of ladder matches where guys get hurt and they do these unbelievable moves. You know, individually, we've seen more kind of exciting and crazy stunts done in ladder matches. But it was one thing after another here, and those last few minutes were ridiculous. But they were ridiculous in a good way. I thought this match was awesome, and absolutely the right man won. I'm glad I picked Sammy in my predictions. I know they tried to throw people off on SmackDown by having him win that non-title match. But absolutely the right guy to win here. There's a lot of gas left in heel Sammy as the champion. He had his run cut short when he went home. He wasn't the champion for very long. Ever since he's come back, I've been thoroughly entertained. Jeff Hardy, I said, you got to watch because Jeff Hardy, as far as I know, he still has a court date scheduled for tomorrow, stemming from the arrest in October of last year. Unless that got pushed back, he's going to be in court tomorrow. I don't know if it'll be in person. I don't know if it'll be virtually. So don't discount the possibility that that played into the outcome of this match. But court date or no court date, Sami Zayn was the right choice to win this match. So I was very happy to see that. Just a tremendous match to open this show. And I would say probably the best match on the show. I really enjoyed the main event too, but it was easily one of the best things on the entire show, without question. Thank you to everybody who has been sending in super chats. I'm going to be getting to them a little bit later. So if you want to get those super chats or super chat questions in, feel free. I'm always very appreciative. You can find the special donation amounts on the description down below. We got a lot of people tuned in tonight, not only for the Clash of Champions coverage with the contest coming up here in just a little bit. So we'll be getting to that. Drew Gulak. Now, you know you couldn't have a Clash of Champions show where every title is on the line without having the green monstrosity on the line. I mean, I love Truth, but this title is completely useless at this point. So R-Truth is in the back, and of course, he's all paranoid, and he's walking, or he accidentally stumbles into the referee lounge, of course. It's the worst possible place for somebody with that belt to stumble into. He backs out of the room, and it just so happens that Drew Gulak is doing some training in the back. Now, what he's training for, I have no idea, because Drew Gulak has no match on this show. So I guess Drew Gulak just randomly is working out in the hallways on shows that he has no match on. Well, lucky for him, he stumbled upon R-Truth, and there just so happened to be a referee there, so he rolled him up, and Drew Gulak will now go down as a 24-7 champion. I couldn't even tell you if he's won the belt before. Maybe he has, I don't know. Who could give a shit? Who cares? Does anybody care? Does anybody actually track the lineage of this belt? Isn't Truth like a 78-time champion or something? Who could possibly give a shit about any of this? But Drew Gulak was the new champion. That's all you need to know. Then we had Asuka defending the Raw Women's Championship against Zelina Vega. Samoa Joe was back on commentary. I'm sure all of you who watched the show are well aware of it because Joe had about 15 cups of coffee before he came out here. He was screaming all night. I was saying, calm down. He was blasting through my speakers here. I had to lower the volume. I mean, I understand being excited about what you do, but my God. Dial it back a little bit. Samoa Joe was amped up. Nobody was more excited for this show tonight than Samoa Joe. Or as Scott Steiner would say, Smo Joe. So we had Smo Joe back on the show. Now, this was originally supposed to take place on the kickoff show. It ended up on the main card. Look, I think Vega did fine, but I did not buy into a single near fall in this match. Not one time. Not one time did I really buy into anything that she was doing. Not one time did I buy into the idea that she would have even had a modicum of a chance of beating Asuka in this match. She was working over Asuka's arm. She had Asuka in an armbar there for a little while, so Vega did get some offense in here. I thought the finishing sequence was pretty smooth, you know, the way they worked this here at the end. Asuka tried for the Asuka lock. Vega rolled through for a near fall. Asuka kicked out, and she reapplied the Asuka lock, and this time she got the win. So, cool finishing sequence, but again, at no point did I buy into the idea that she was any kind of legitimate threat. Now, I'm gonna bet that anybody watching right now in this chat, from Tay, I see Tay in there, and Joey, and Garrus, and Ufman, and everybody else, JC Zephyr, I see you. I see you. Everybody in the chat, not a single person bought into the fact that Zelina Vega was going to win anything but an ass-kicking here in this match. It was a warm body to put in the ring with Asuka. Nothing more, nothing less. When the match was over, Charlie Caruso, she was interviewing Asuka in the ring. And she said, she wasn't ready for Asuka. Zelina, she bowed. And Asuka, the little bit of dumb baby face syndrome here. She bowed back, thinking that Zelina Vega was actually being nice to her. She thought she was being very sportsmanlike, So when she took a bow, Zelina kicked her, and Asuka ended up screaming in Japanese, and Vega ran away. And knowing WWE, we're going to have the rematch on Raw tomorrow night. Why? Because why the hell not? She lost, so she gets a rematch. Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley against Apollo Crews with Ricochet, Rick O'Shea, in his corner. He's not doing much of anything these days, except yelling at people on the internet. For the United States Championship, I called this Apollo 13. This was the 13th straight time on television that Apollo Crews has had a match. 13 straight matches against a member of the Hurt Business. May there not be a number 14. Because after tonight, there is no reason for it. None whatsoever. May this be the last. Apollo hit an enziguri, press slam, standing moonsault at one point for a near fall. Lashley recovered, hit a superplex for a near fall of his own. And he went for the Dominator. Crews slipped out, hit a standing shooting star press. He had a frog splash for a near fall. That was probably the closest he came in this match. Lashley came back. He press slammed him. And he applied the Hurt Lock for the win. So Samoa Joe called it the full Lashley. Because Samoa Joe's been missing for the last couple of weeks. I don't know where he was. I don't know if he was sick. I don't know. So he may have missed the memo. Apparently, the new name of the move is the Hurt Lock. It used to be the full Lashley. I thought that sounded completely stupid. It just was a dumb name for a finish. Thankfully, somebody in the company felt the same way because the Hurt Lock is a much better name. I thought the match was okay. Apollo Crews, hey, you know, look, this guy can't beat Lashley. We get it. We get the message. He can't beat Lashley. Can we move on from this, please? I mean, now I'm expecting tomorrow night we're going to get Ricochet and Apollo Crews against Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin. Or Bobby Lashley and Cedric Alexander, because they don't have any other matches to do, apparently. They're stuck. So we just keep saying the same matches over and over and over and over and over again. Enough. Please, let's move on. Let us move on. In fact, we're going to move on right now to the tag team titles. The Raw tag team titles. The Street Profits against Andrade and Angel Garza for the Raw tag team championship. Talking now, this is what I was just talking about. This is the perfect segue. How many times have we seen Apollo Crews in the Hurt Business? Well, how many times have we seen this? Now, I thought that these guys have been feuding and having matches since June. Michael Cole said that there have been battles between these guys going back to before WrestleMania. Even I didn't think it went back that long. That's even worse. This has been going on all year. And I figured tonight's got to be the night. They're doing this match again. Andrade and Garza, they're on the same page finally. They got rid of Zelina Vega, or she got rid of them. Felt like we were going to get a title change tonight. That's what it felt like to me. Well, and I believe that we were going to get a tag team title change, but sometimes things don't go the way they're supposed to go. Unfortunately, Angel Garza suffered a leg injury. And that may have played a role in the awkward finish. We got a very, it looked botched, frankly. I don't think it was botched, but it looked botched. It was a very awkward finish. I'm going to assume that happened on purpose because somebody in the back decided to call the match early. You know, the referee threw up the X to let them know somebody was hurt. And they just decided to go to the finish. That's what I'm going to assume. Now, Garza, at one point, I thought maybe the injury happened here, but I went back and watched it. He hit a top rope Spanish fly to Montez Ford, which is always a dangerous move to do. If you don't get your footing just right, your momentum is already taking you backwards. Then you got to rotate your body in midair. It's a very dangerous move to pull off. He barely pulled it off here in this match. It looked like he almost landed on his neck, but he cleared it. And he went for the near fall and he went for the pin, but he got a near fall out of it. So again, I thought the injury happened there, but it didn't. So Ford went for the tag. Andrade pulled Angelo Dawkins off the apron. Garza gave Montez a knee lift. It was not a flying knee lift. It was just a normal, regular knee lift, like a running knee lift. And that's where he came up lame. So that's where the injury happened. Sometimes these things, it's just a total freak injury. It's like Xavier Woods when he ruptured his Achilles. I think it was running the ropes. You know, when Edge ruptured his Achilles many years ago, when he was out for many months, it was at a house show match against Jeff Hardy. It was in the first, like, 2 minutes of the match on a simple, on a leapfrog. And then, boom, Achilles ruptured. Sometimes that's just how it goes with some of these things. I mean, look, I was just talking earlier today about Ember Moon. You know, wondering if Ember Moon might be this mystery former NXT champion coming back at TakeOver next Sunday. Because they didn't say that it was a male or a female. But Ember suffered a really serious Achilles injury to the point where she wasn't sure that she's going to be able to even come back. How did it happen? She was chasing R-Truth in some stupid 24-7 chase, chasing him into the back. She was going so fast that when she came through the curtain, I think he was like standing right there. She had to stop herself. And she ruptured her Achilles. I don't know what kind of injury this was. He went down. His right knee was down. His left leg, he kept it up in the air. So it's like he's on his knees, but he's keeping his leg off the ground. He would not put his leg down. So it's obviously some kind of leg injury. I don't know if it's the knee. I don't know if it's the quad. I don't know if it's the Achilles. None of those three are good. If it's any kind of a tear or anything, that ain't good news. So I don't have the latest update. I'll check in a little bit and see, and it maybe somebody in the chat, if you guys hear anything, because I don't have it open right now. But clearly he did hurt himself. And I think the best outcome here would be that maybe he just tweaked something and hopefully there's no tear. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. But he tagged out of the match. And at that point, Dawkins came in. He was in there with Andrade. He gave him a spine buster. And went for the pin. Andrade clearly got his shoulder up before the three count. Referee counted three anyway. Even the announcers thought, oh, he kicked out. And then the bell rang. So even the announcers were confused by this. They ran a replay. They said, well, the referee botched it. The referee, you know, he missed the call. But I'm going to assume that they were supposed to probably win the titles. Garza maybe was going to be part of the finish. The referee said he's hurt. He's hurt pretty bad. And they just called an audible. But that's just a total guess on my part. So, like I was saying before, hopefully it is nothing too serious. Because that would be terrible if that were the case. You know, Garza is one of those guys who, not even as a tag team, but as a single, he could really be something on that roster. You know, I like Garza. I like Andrade, too. He's a young guy. You know, even if he's hurt, plenty of time for him to come back, but hopefully it's nothing serious. So Caleb Braxton was in the back, and she was interviewing Drew Gulak, the new 24/7 champion. And Drew Gulak is dedicating his win to Akira Tozawa, who he says, based on what everybody saw last Monday night, has not been seen. He was eaten by a shark. I wish that that championship would have been eaten by it. I made the comment on the podcast. I said, you know, that championship is like shark repellent. Nobody wants to touch that title. R-Truth is the only one who wants that title. That title, it's just, get it away. I wish that it would have just sank to the bottom of the ocean on Monday night, and we would never have to look at it ever again. So he's talking about Akira Tozawa. R-Truth showed up and waffled him with something and then pinned Gulak to win the belt back. Again, I say, who gives a shit? We had the SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley. Bayley had no opponent tonight. Nikki Cross was off the show. So she was all smiles when she came out to the ring. She was very happy. She was coming out expecting probably a forfeit win. And she said, hey, anybody who wants to come out and open challenge, you want to come out and get a shot at the title, come on out. Nobody came out. She told the referee to raise her hand. All of a sudden, we hear Asuka's music. And I thought to myself, really? Is this the best that they came up with here? This was their big... I understand their back was against the wall. I don't know how late in the game they found out Nikki Cross would not be available. They may have known for a couple of days now. Nikki Cross was not at SmackDown either. So it's not like this was such a sudden thing where, uh-oh, Nikki's not here, where is she? So they had at least some time to try to come up with some kind of backup plan here. This was their great backup plan. By the way, for all the people who were upset, and there were people who were upset that Asuka was going to be on the kickoff show. Oh my God, how could they put Asuka on the kickoff show with such disrespect? The Raw women's title being defended on the kickoff show, which is where that match belonged. Match just came out of nowhere. There's no build. The match would have been exactly where it belonged on the kickoff show. But all these people who were upset that Asuka was going to be treated to the kickoff show, she ended up with two matches on this pay-per-view. This is the second pay-per-view in 2 months that Asuka has worked double duty on this show. It's going to get to the point where people are going to start to get sick of her. It's going to be Asuka overload. It's going to go the other way. People are not going to want to see her anymore. So you got plenty of Asuka if you're an Asuka fan. You got nothing to complain about. And I understand it was an open challenge, but this made no sense. You're going to have the Raw Women's Champion come out now and wrestle the SmackDown Women. Didn't we already see this? This is what I mean. We're going to have a draft in a few weeks. Who cares? They don't follow the rules anyway. So what difference does it make? They have the stupid rule where you can come on the other show 4 times a year. You know, the draft is what it is. The draft is a way to get the ratings up. That's why they do it over the course of 2 shows. They want to pop a rating on Fox. They want to pop a rating on USA. After a few weeks, we'll get a few new faces on the show. A few weeks in, everything will be the same. Nothing will really feel any different. So we got Raw versus SmackDown again here. I don't want to hear this shit when Survivor Series comes. It's the one night a year. It's the one night a year we get Raw versus... If Michael Cole says that, I'm going to lose my mind. I will blow a gasket. I don't want to hear this. I mean, they already treat the audience like schmucks most of the time. But if he pulls that line out again this year about it's the one time a year, my head is going to pop off my shoulders. So they had a match that went 2 minutes, and Bayley hit her with a chair and got disqualified. This was so stupid. This was the dumbest thing on the internet. This was a complete waste of time. All you had to do was send Bayley out there to cut a speech. She's gloating. Give me the win. They raise her hand. Maybe they even start playing her music. And you get to the same point, which is what they did next, which is why they probably did this whole thing. Sasha Banks. What a big surprise. I knew they couldn't help themselves. I knew they couldn't wait. I knew it. No surprise there. Sasha Banks is already back. Still has the neck brace on, but she came back and she attacked Bayley from behind. I think she hit her with a chair. I was kind of shaking my head at this finish. So it's possible I shook my head this way when Sasha first showed up. I think she hit her with a chair. So she goes and attacks Bayley. Bayley fought back. Then Sasha came back again and she was hitting her with a kendo stick and Bayley ran off. Again, you could have gotten to this without doing the match. You didn't even have to send Asuka out there. Could have gotten to the same point. So now we go to Hell in a Cell. Now these two are going to go to Hell in a Cell, and they're going to have their match. I don't know if they're going to headline the show, but I think this feud has been going on long enough, and I think, you know, that first Sasha Bayley match is a big enough match where if they wanted to, you could headline with that match. I'm guessing they'll headline with Roman. They probably should headline with Roman. Roman has just, I mean, he has vaulted over everybody as the most, whoever thought that we'd be saying this, you know, if you were here earlier this year, 6 months ago, but he has vaulted himself to the head of the class in terms of performers on TV that are just must-see in WWE right now. I mean, the guy screams main event. So depending on who they line him up with as a challenger, it probably should be Roman going forward in the main events. That's kind of where he belongs. But before we get to the Universal Championship, we have the WWE Championship. And I want to just say hello to the 2,000 plus here joining us live on YouTube. We are going to be getting to the big contest here in just a little bit. So thank you again for choosing me for your Clash of Champions coverage here tonight. I see all the super chats. I will be getting to them in a little bit. So if you want to send one in, now is the time to do so. And then we might take some calls at the very end too. Drew McIntyre. We had Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. for the WWE Championship, this was an ambulance match. Oh, yes, because we can count on one hand the number of memorable ambulance matches that we have seen. It's funny, I was talking to a friend about this. I said, can you even think of any ambulance match that you've ever seen outside of the one that Kane and Shane McMahon had at, like, Survivor Series or something, I think it was, in 2003? And he couldn't think of one, but I couldn't think of one either. I'm sure I've seen more than one. But they didn't exactly leave a big impression on me. The ambulance match is not known to be a great wrestling stipulation, right? It's not like the ladder match. It's not like a cage match or a Royal Rumble or something like that. So you never really know what you're going to get in a match like this. There's no pinfalls. There's no submissions. You literally just throw a guy in the back of an ambulance and you shut the door. Sounds kind of lame. Thankfully, these guys, I thought they made the best of the stipulation that they were given. Orton was setting up very early on. He was setting up for an early punt in this match. And we see somebody reach and grab his ankle. Now, at first, we couldn't really tell who it was. We just saw the hand. And then the camera pans in, and they show the person's face, and he's got a bandana over his mouth and his nose, and he pulls the bandana down, and it's The Big Show. The Big Show shaved, which looks very strange. If you put some long hair on his head, he would look like the Giant from WCW all those many years ago. He's like a new man. He shaved 10 years off his life by shaving that shit off his face. So it's The Big Show, and he had this weird smile, creepy smile on his face. I thought at first, I'm thinking, I see the thing, I'm like, did Big Show join Retribution? Is this where as if I thought Retribution couldn't get any worse. Now they're going to throw Big Show in there. So I didn't know if he joined Retribution. He looked like a gangster. That's what he looked like. He looked like, so he pulls the bandana down. And he drags Randy Orton out of the ring. Now, the last time we saw The Big Show, he was punted by Orton in the head back in July. And he was left for dead. This is the match they had, that non-sanctioned match on Raw back at the Performance Center. So he drags Orton outside and gave him a choke slam through the announce table. He lost him on the transfer. He kind of lost control of Orton. But Orton still fell through the table, and the table broke anyway. And with that, he left. And we never saw The Big Show again. He came, he made his mark, and he went to the back. So with that, Drew McIntyre took over, and he was beating on Orton all the way down the aisle to the ambulance. Orton dodged a Claymore kick at one point. He was pressed up against the open driver's side door. He ducked right into the driver's side seat right in the nick of time. Drew kicked the door off its hinges with the Claymore. They brawled into the backstage area. And up next, we had the ghost of Orton's Christmas past. The next ghost. The first ghost was The Big Show. That was ghost number one. Ghost number two was Christian. Christian was the first person after Edge. Christian was the next victim of the punt kick. We haven't seen Christian since. So he grabbed Orton. He threw him into a table nearby that was full of catering. I'm surprised we didn't see Mustafa Ali over there chowing down on his dinner. I mean, he hasn't been doing much of anything else. I guess he was on Main Event again this week. But Mustafa Ali has not been doing much else. So where else would he be? He would be at catering in the back, but I didn't see him. No Mustafa Ali. He no showed tonight. Yet again, with the assist, Drew McIntyre takes over. It's like Drew needs all these people fighting his battles for him. So he takes over. He brings Orton back out to the ambulance. They ended up on the hood of the ambulance. Orton thumbed him in the eye, and McIntyre, Orton shoved Drew backwards, and Drew landed back first on the windshield, and he shattered the windshield. And I'm just thinking, and I just commented on this on the podcast the other day, and I'm just thinking to myself, this has not been a good month. The month of September has not been kind to vehicle windshields. We had the parking lot fight in AEW with people going through windshields. We had Sheamus putting Big E through a windshield. We had Big E coming back and putting some security guy through a windshield. And now we have Randy Orton putting Drew McIntyre through a windshield. I'm pretty sure all of these things happened in the month of September. So this has not been a good month for windshields, but it has been a good month for people who install windshields. So we at least know one industry that is surviving very well, thanks to all of these wrestling companies here during this pandemic. If you are a company that manufactures car windshields, ambulance windshields, business is booming, thanks to pro wrestling for you. Orton now is on the roof of the, I think he threw Drew off. Drew's on the floor. And now Orton is on the roof. Look at that. X-Pac rule. That one guy in the crowd. Look at his shirt open. Look at this. Look at this freak. X-Pac rule. X-Pac's one fan back then. There he is, right there in the super chat. Orton's on the roof of this ambulance. And all of a sudden, behind Orton, we see the next ghost, Shawn Michaels, who's going to be on NXT this week. He's going to be hosting a face-off between Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly. Shawn Michaels, the victim of a... You would never know. You would never know. Because he got punted and RKO'd back-to-back and got right back up. So I don't know why Shawn Michaels was that upset. Didn't seem to be that impacted by the punt kick, but Shawn Michaels hit a super kick, and then he shoved Orton backwards. There was a crash pad. They didn't show us, but he fell off the roof of the ambulance and landed on the crash pad. So now McIntyre picks up Orton. And he's got Orton on his shoulders, carries him to the back of the ambulance. He's going to put him inside. Orton slips out, though. He gives Drew an RKO on the floor. Orton takes Drew, puts him in the back of the ambulance himself. And he is taking... It's like when you see a wrestler in a ladder match. And they're climbing, and they know they're not going to win, right? But the other guy is too slow. Maybe they're going too fast. He has to slow himself down. And he is crawling as, I mean, the slowest crawl you've ever seen. Slowly reaching up for the title. That's what this was. Randy Orton took his sweet-ass time closing these ambulance doors. And you knew he wasn't winning. Why? Because it was WWE. Because the announcers were talking about the fact that Orton's going to win the title. As soon as they say that, you know that Orton's not going to win the title. So you can thank Corey Graves and Michael Cole for spoiling the outcome as they do every month. So as he's about to close the doors, Drew reaches out. He thumbs Orton in the eye. And he exits the ambulance. And he connects with the Claymore kick. And Drew lays him out with a Claymore kick of his own. So now he's putting Orton in the back of the ambulance. And now Drew has second thoughts. And he drags Orton where his head is kind of hanging out of the back of the ambulance. And Drew backs up, and he comes in, and he nails Orton with a punt kick of his own. And that was the exclamation point on things. I like the way they kind of tied the whole story together. You know, he didn't want to end it with, he wanted to end it with the same move that Orton put him out with and everybody else out with. So he punted him in the head, and then he closed the doors, and Drew McIntyre retains the WWE Championship. The referee is then banging on the side of the ambulance, telling the driver to go ahead and drive. The guy's not moving. So the referee goes to the front of the ambulance to see what the holdup is. You know, what's going on? You know, why is this guy not moving? And he goes to the front of the ambulance, and who does he see in the driver's side seat but the Nature Boy Ric Flair, the last victim of Randy Orton's punt kick. And there's Ric Flair sitting in the driver's seat. And Flair says that he promises not to break the speed limit. And he begins to drive as slow, he's driving his age. I would imagine that Ric Flair in the front of this ambulance driving the way he was, if you live in Florida, there's a lot of drivers that look like Ric Flair who probably drive about as slow as Ric Flair was driving here. I mean, how could the guy drive fast anyway? The guy's got a shattered windshield. He can't see a freaking thing. So he's driving 3 miles an hour. I mean, I didn't expect him to floor it. That would have been kind of funny, actually. But there's Ric Flair, and he gets his... I was a little worried that Flair was going to come out and they were going to do the swerve where we think he's going to attack Orton, but he low blows Drew. Thankfully, they didn't do that. I thought the finish was neat. I thought it was a very good match. I enjoyed it. I did like the match. Orton getting his comeuppance from all of his victims was a nice way to kind of tie that story together. And, I mean, this looks like they're going to go for the Hell in a Cell match. That's what it looks like to me, because now the excuse is that Orton comes out on TV and says, yeah, well, you know, you may have won, but you didn't beat me because you needed help. You needed help from the Big Show. You needed help from Christian. You needed help from Shawn Michaels. You couldn't do it on your own. And that then sets up one last match inside the cell where there is nobody to help Drew, and Drew has to win on his own. That's where I see this going. I don't like it. I don't see the need for this match. That's three straight pay-per-view losses now for Orton. He lost at SummerSlam. He lost at Payback. He lost at Clash of Champions. That should be the end of Randy Orton as far as getting title matches. I don't care who he is. I don't care how many championships he's had. I don't care how big of a star he is. Three straight pay-per-view losses? Move to the back of the fucking line. There's really no need to see another match between these two guys. But that's where it looks like this is going. It's not like they have a whole bunch of people lined up anyway. I mean, you got Keith Lee. I could see Keith Lee being added to this. Keith Lee has business with both these guys. Drew McIntyre still has not beaten Keith Lee. Keith Lee beat Randy Orton. Keith Lee has a claim. He has a legitimate claim to being part of this next championship match at Hell in a Cell. Maybe we get a three-way inside the cell. I mean, what else is Keith Lee going to do? He wasn't on this show. Unless he's going to be wrestling some member of Retribution, maybe him and Dominik Dijakovic, if they want to actually draw upon the history between them, which it doesn't seem like they have any interest in doing. You know, when you come up from NXT, it's like your whole history there didn't exist. You go from NXT to being fucking slapdick on TV. That's how it works in WWE. We are now at the main event. This is the big match. This is the match I was most looking forward to here on this show. This is the match I was looking forward to the most. And I got to tell you, it delivered. It really they impressed me with what they did here. And this is not always the case with these main events. There have been times where these pay-per-views will go off the air and it's a very sour ending. They leave a very bad taste in my mouth with this stuff, where they give you some kind of fluky, stupid finish. What they did here, I felt like they handled everything perfectly in this match. First of all, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that before this year is out, we are going to have a pay-per-view that is headlined by Jey Uso getting a world championship match, not even a world, a universal championship match against heel Roman Reigns, managed by Paul Heyman. And the match is going to take place inside something called the Thunderdome with no live fans in attendance and people projected onto screens. I would have told you to go seek drug rehab or put down the pipe. That's how fucked up this whole year has been. But I got to give credit to Jey Uso. Jey Uso has gone in there. He took advantage of the opportunity that was given to him. It may have been one and done. I don't know if Jey Uso gets another match. He got beaten pretty thoroughly here tonight. And I don't think his brother is ready, is medically cleared to wrestle yet from his injury. So I don't exactly know what his future is. But Jey Uso and Roman Reigns, they went out there tonight and they continued their story. They sold me on this through the story. They sold me on this through the promos. You know, coming in the video package, you know, the way they kind of blended history together, the Samoan lineage, I thought it was pitch perfect. Jey came out, he was wearing a black and red Samoan lei around his neck. Roman Reigns comes out, and Roman had already told people on Facebook the other day, he said, I'm going to have a new look on the pay-per-view. He goes, you're never going to see me wearing tights, you know, like he did back in FCW when he was Leaki. That was the Leaki days of Roman Reigns in developmental. He goes, you're not going to see that. I'm going to keep the black pants, but no more vest. I'm not going to be wearing a shirt. And he came out, and look, the guy's got all the tribal ink on him like The Rock does. So it was kind of foolish in a way to cover all that up. You know, the guy comes out, and he walks out there, and he looks like a beast walking out there. He's dropped weight. He's all cut. Now, the pandemic has been very good to Roman Reigns. So it's a bit of a new look for him. He's got the title over his shoulder. He comes out there looking like, He comes out there looking like the top guy. He's not out there with some cheesy smile. You know, everything that they have done, everything that he has done to just tweak that character, he hasn't gone too far over the edge. He hasn't really done anything overly sinister. I mean, tonight was really the first time. We knew coming into this match, the cousin was going to get killed. That's why Jey Uso was in this match. Jey Uso was in this match to solidify the Roman Reigns heel turn. If you did not think that Roman Reigns was a bad guy before this pay-per-view tonight, they wanted you to believe that he was by the time this event was over. And that's the reason why Jey Uso was in this match. That was the only reason that Jey Uso was in this match. He was being thrown to the lions. So Roman, who had the same music, he said, there is new music on the way. He goes, we're going to wait for the right time. He goes, when something drastic happens in the story, that's when we're going to drop the new music. So the Shield music is going to go away soon. He is going to get new music. That's really the only thing missing. The attitude is different. The attire is different. He's got a manager now. The only thing missing is new music. Roman just toyed with him. The first few minutes of the match, Roman was like a cat with a bird. He is just toying with this guy. He was talking smack to him the whole time. I'm the tribal chief. I put food on the table. You're not going to take that away from me. Michael Cole talked about Jey just looking like he was in way over his head. Like he just didn't belong in there. So Jey finally starts the fight back. He hits a Samoan drop for a near fall. I mean, you didn't think we were going to have a match with two Samoan guys and not have at least one Samoan drop. I mean, come on. You knew it was just a matter of who's going to hit the move first. So we got a Samoan drop. Jey was setting up for that hip check that the Usos do in the corner. With the ass splash, whatever you want to call it. He was setting up for what I think was a hip check in the corner. Roman pops out, hits a Superman punch. So down goes Jey Uso. He rolls out to the floor, and Jay's trying to kind of help himself up using the announce table. He gets into a game of fisticuffs with Roman that probably won't end well for him, and it didn't. So Roman is just talking shit. And this is the other element of the Roman Reigns character now that I am enjoying. It's the trash talking. We've come a long way from the days of Jack and the Beanstalk and Suffering Succotash. Remember that? Suffering Succotash. Then he winks in the camera. I could feel the vomit coming up right now. We've come a long way from those days where Vince McMahon was hands-on with all of his promos to having Roman Reigns out there just talking shit like it was a street fight. And they had him all mic'd up so we can hear everything that he was saying. They had the whole ringside area mic'd up so we could hear everything. This is that ass whooping that I promised you. I told you. Take the payday, take the ass whooping. This is that ass whooping that I promised you. Jey rallied. He shoved Reigns shoulder first into the ring post. Clothesline Roman out of the ring. Uso dived through the ropes. Roman now is on the opposite side in the aisleway. Another Uso dive takes him down. So we get a super kick by Jey for a very close near fall. And I was hoping they would do this. I didn't want this to be a straight squash. There had to be a point in the match. Jay's getting his ass kicked. There had to be a point in the match where he rallies or Roman makes a mistake. He gets too cocky. And Jey gets at least that one big near fall. He got about three or four of them here in this match. And whether it was actual crowd noise from the Thunderdome people or probably the fake crowd noise, it worked here. You know, people, you know, they had the sounds were going where it sounded like everybody was all amped up. It felt like a pay-per-view main event. So he got a few near falls here. He went for an Uso splash. It got foiled. So he came off. He rolled through. And Roman hit a jumping leg lariat for a near fall. We got a new move from Roman Reigns. Remember when John Cena tried to incorporate some new moves into his arsenal? Everybody used to say, oh, the five moves of doom, the six moves of doom. So he introduced the new move, which was, I think, his jumping Rana, which did not always look so smooth. Actually, the one that never looked smooth was that diving cutter, which was awful. That's almost as bad as that Okada Cobra clutch that I wish he would stop using. I don't know what these guys are thinking sometimes with these moves. But this jumping leg lariat was pretty cool. So Roman Reigns now has a new move in his arsenal. Jay countered the spear into a pin attempt. Roman kicks out. Super kick. Jay goes up, hits the splash, gets very close near a fall. Roman kicks out. But Uso comes up hurting. And he's holding his balls. He's, you know, Jay Uso is in a lot of pain, and they show a replay. What the hell happened here? So on the replay, they show him coming off the top rope for the splash, right? He lands, he connects with the splash. Roman lifted his arm up. But when Roman lifted his arm up to get his shoulder off the mat, unfortunately for poor Jey Uso, he low-blowed Jey in his little jimmies. And so Jey was in, he was in a bad way. Jey was in a bad way. He was in a lot of pain. But Roman hits the spear. He doesn't go for the cover. Roman hits the spear. He does not go for the cover. And he says, I'm not ready yet. You brought me all the way out here. I want you to call me the chief. He goes, I want you to acknowledge me as your tribal chief. He goes, if you do that now, we're done. I want you to acknowledge me as your tribal chief. And Jay, of course, is not going to do that. So Jey Uso says, no, you know, I'm not going to do that. So Roman hits the ropes. He comes off. He hits another spear. Down goes Jey Uso. So then Roman looks into the camera, and they switch camera views. And he's got Jey down, and Roman's holding him, you know, by the head, and he's looking into the camera. He goes, you see that camera? He goes, that's my camera. He says, that's my camera. I want you to tell the entire world that I'm the boss. I run it all. And Jey said, not today. You know, they were, it's almost like they were going for the Rocky IV thing. It's going for the Rocky IV thing here with Apollo Creed and Ivan Drago. We actually saw this not too much in the past, relatively recently on NXT with Keith Lee and Dijakovic and Karrion Kross. But since NXT doesn't exist in this universe, I guess we don't need to talk about that. Paul Heyman, though, he starts screaming, you're the tribal chief. You're my tribal chief. I'm surprised Paul Heyman was working the show here on the high holy days. But Paul Heyman is very dedicated to his guy. So Paul Heyman is, he's shouting, you're my tribal chief. Roman says, I don't need you to call me that. I need him to call me that. And he starts pounding away, mounts Jey. He's pounding away on this guy. Charles Robinson gets in there. He tries to stop Roman. I was a little worried they were going to do the whole DQ'd for kicking too much ass finish. So Roman, he gets up in Charles Robinson's face and he says to him, you shut your mouth. You let me go to work. This is family business. You get in my business again. You're going to be out of a job. Poor Charles Robinson. The guy's just trying to make a living here. He's trying to do his job. He doesn't need to take this abuse. All of a sudden, we see Jimmy Uso, who there's no way Jimmy Uso can be cleared yet to wrestle because he had an ACL operation in April. But he was well enough here to come hobbling down to the ring. And he's got a towel in his hand. And he's getting ready to throw in the towel. He's telling Jey, forget this fool. He goes, and Jay's like, no, don't do it. I don't want you to do it. Roman drags him to the center of the ring. He starts pounding away on Jey, and Jimmy just, he can take no more. He can't watch his brother be obliterated like this. He throws in the towel. Charles Robinson calls for the bell. Jimmy gets in the ring. He is shielding his brother. He never took any abuse, because again, I don't think he's cleared. But he covered up Jey. He looked up at Roman. What's gotten into you? What's wrong with you? We're family. What are you doing? He goes, you're the chief. Is that what you want to hear? He goes, you're the tribal chief. So he tells Roman exactly what Roman wants to hear. Roman tells Paul Heyman to go ahead and retrieve the red and black lei that Jey had worn down to the ring with him. And Heyman retrieves it. He places it around his neck. And that is how they go off the air. We have Jimmy Uso sitting over his brother's broken dead corpse, basically. And there's Roman Reigns standing there with the lei around his neck and the championship. And that was the parting image of tonight's show. This was an easy thumbs up pay-per-view. I was not a fan of some of the, a big fan of some of the stuff in the middle. It just, I wasn't a fan at all of what they did with the Bayley and Asuka stuff. But even the stuff like Lashley and Cruz and some of those matches, the Raw tag team title match, injury aside, it was just basic TV matches. There was nothing special about them at all. And in a lot of cases, I'm just sick and tired of seeing the same matches over and over. But the matches that had to deliver on this show all delivered. The ladder match was incredible. That opened the show. I thought the ambulance match was very good. And the main event was great. I love that main event. I love that main event. I was very, very impressed with what they did at the end of that show. So for me, beginning, you got that championship match in the middle, and you got the end. That's a thumbs up show. 1 to 10, I'd probably go 7, 7.5 maybe on the show tonight. I'd give it a thumbs up score. We'll find out in a little bit if you guys felt the same way when we go and check the Twitter poll here in just a little bit. I do want to check one thing very quickly, because I am very curious if we have any kind of injury update on Angel Garza. So let us see what the question or what the injury is. All right. Well, according to PW Insider, he's being checked out. It may not be as serious, but it looks like it might be a hip injury. It might be a hip injury and not a leg injury. So if that's the case, then let us hope. Let's hope that's the case. I don't want to see anybody go down with any kind of muscle tear, knee tear, quad tear. We don't need to be seeing that. That would be bad news for Angel Garza. So I'm sure we'll have a better update on him hopefully tomorrow, but it sounds like it may not be as serious as it was originally feared. So that's good. That's good news. So as you guys know, one of the things that we are doing here tonight, which I'm very excited about, is a very special contest. We are doing a very special contest here on this show. It is a WrestleRumble.com contest. I know a lot of you entered this contest. Well, there's Noelle. There's Noelle. Boy, she loves hogging the camera. Look at this with all these championships. Let's put her aside here for a second. So one of you guys is going to win all 8 of those titles that you see on your screen. And by the way, all the people in the chat who were talking about the Nia Jax tweet, people were tweeting, oh, you got COVID. You and your partner got COVID, which nobody said they had COVID. Could just be a precautionary thing. So Nia denied it, but then she posted a tweet saying, my partner, what'd she say? My partner is expecting or something. And then a little pregnant emoji. I assume she was just fucking around with people. So I would not take what she says on Twitter very seriously. Everybody now thinks Shayna Baszler is with child. Then they'll have to do a storyline. Who's the daddy? We don't need that. We have Retribution. That's bad enough. Maybe Retribution did it. Retribution got Shayna Baszler pregnant. There's your new storyline. Slapdick got Shayna Baszler pregnant. That's who the daddy is. Anyway. See, I'm booking Retribution storylines here on the stream. Everything is just going downhill right now. So here's how this works. If you've not been party to these contests before, I will show you as I paste in all of the names. There's almost 5,000 names here. So I'm hoping this thing won't freeze up on me. That's how many names we got. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to paste all of these names into the box that you see on your screen. This is random.org. So this is a website that anybody can use. They have a list randomizer. I have used this thing dozens of times before for Wrestle Rumble and other contests. It is completely random. What you see here, and I can't possibly scroll through the whole thing, but these are all of the names. And there are some repeat names because some people paid for multiple entries, but they're all in here. See? Totally randomized. I'm going to click the randomize button. When I do, let's see. This is Clash of Champions 2020. So from the numbered list, whoever is listed in the number 20 spot, you are the winner of the contest. That is how this is going to work. Again, if you are number 20 on the list, you are the winner of the championship belt, and I want to once again thank Wrestle Rumble for giving me the chance to host this. Hopefully, we've got I've got some inside information on the next contest coming up next month, and it's going to be pretty cool. But anyway, enough of that. Let us go to the drum roll and pick a winner here. Who is going to walk away with the 8 championship belts? Well, let us find out. The winner of the contest is Temujin Jefferson. I hope I pronounced that right. My goodness. Always got to get the complicated names here. Is it Temujin or Temuhe? I'm going to say Temujin. Temujin Jefferson, you are number 20. You are the winner of the Wrestle Rumble contest. You won 8 championship belts. Congratulations. You are going to have 8 belts being shipped out to you tomorrow via FedEx. That is going to be one hell of a delivery that you are getting. That is every single NXT championship that there is. The NXT title, the women's title, the tag, the cruiserweight, the North American, the NXT UK title, the UK women's title. It's all going to be there. And then make sure that you tweet photos and tag me. Tag at WrestleRumble on Twitter and tag at Solomonster. And then I can retweet you, and you can show everybody all the championships that you just won. So there it is. Number 20, Temujin Jefferson. Again, congratulations, my friend. Enjoy your belts. I have 2 belts behind me here, if I bring it up right now. I got 2 belts over my shoulder, and I have another one, the Intercontinental, sitting somewhere that I got many years ago. I don't even know what I would do with 8 belts. I don't have enough room on the wall for it. So congratulations, though. I love doing this. I love picking winners and giving things away like that. So it's very cool. So anyway, always a good time with Wrestle Rumble. And again, I want to thank them for giving me the opportunity to host this wonderful contest here for all of you. Now let's take a look at the Twitter poll. 77% thumbs up, 23% thumbs down. That is the verdict. 1,700 plus votes already in. So if you have not already voted, this poll is going to be up for another couple of days. You guys got plenty of time to go ahead and vote and let me know what you think of tonight's pay-per-view. That is the Clash of Champions pay-per-view here tonight. I'm trying to, there we go. Couldn't get it back on me there for a second. So let me take a look here, get all caught up on some of these Super Chats and Super Chat questions that you guys have been sending in. So now's a good time if you have not yet sent one in and you want to. You have a question. I'm here to answer them. These are the ones that I'm going to be answering. So go on and you see that dollar sign button in the chat. If you want to get in on the Super Chat action, that is the way to do so. I got to scroll all the way back here. Here we go. We got to go all the way back. All the way back to earlier tonight when they first started coming in. And we'll do some Super Chats, and then we'll probably take some calls, right? If there's any late-breaking news coming out of the pay-per-view, injury news, we'll have that for you here in a little bit as well. Garrus Vakarian, it is the gift of Solomonster. Yes, he is joining us tonight. Garrus, thank you very much. Chris Quillman, do you think The Fiend will go to Raw during the draft? If so, does Alexa go too? Yeah, I don't think they would split the two of them up. I mean, clearly they're in the middle of this storyline. I was intrigued by what they did on Friday night when Roman came out and Alexa was giving him the evil eye. Why would you break? I mean, they already broke up Otis and Mandy. Wait, they're just going to break everybody up? I wouldn't break them up yet. If you're going to do something, you got to see this storyline through to the end. Mr. Uzi Gaming. Main event had good storytelling, but it was dragging on. Could have been shorter. First 10 minutes was Uso getting thrown out of the ring. So that was his opinion on the main event. M. Bison, I need more belts. Well, hey, you got to spread the love. Marty won the contest a few months ago. You got to spread the love around. You can't be taking up all the belts here. Jacob Donnelly with the 10 bucks. Overall, thumbs in the middle show. Loved the ladder match and loved Roman versus Jay. Hated the ambulance match. And everything else felt pointless. The one and only with the $5. Draft, LOL. No more dancing Fox executives this year. Oh my God. I forgot about that. I forgot how excited all the Fox executives were when they drafted Natalya. didn't they have the Fox robot, like the football robot was dancing and stuff? Because they drafted Natalia. Yeah, let's hope they keep that at home. Willie Eichert, I was actually entertained with the show, especially the main event. We need more of this Roman. It's too bad we didn't get this Roman 5 years ago, or 4 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 2 years ago. It took until there's no fans in the buildings during a pandemic. But they finally did it. Evan Watson, is the Hell in a Cell match going to be Uso Reigns instead of Orton McIntyre? Why do the referees keep botching counts? Again, I don't think it was a botch. I think they probably just called an audible because of the injury and ended it early. Harold Warren, WWE Tag Teams, has been a hot mess for a long time. Yes, it has. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the 10. T-Swift's 12th ex-boyfriend. Oh, Taylor Swift. I see. I was thinking T-Bar. You got to spell these things out here. I assume that means Taylor Swift's 12th ex-boyfriend. Yes, sent in a super chat. Dop with the $5. Really enjoyed that main event. Reigns was on fire tonight, and his trash talking was the highlight for me. John Falchetta. Sammy is like a mix of Necro Butcher and Fidel Castro. Yes. A little bit of Seth Rogen thrown in there as well. Probably about 40 pounds lighter, but I see a little bit of Rogan in there as well. Mr. Uzi, do you think Sami Zayn looks like Seth Rogen? Holy shit. Do you think Sami Zayn looks like Seth Rogen? I swear to God, I did not look at that chat before I said that. Wow, that is eerie. So yes, actually. I guess I just answered your question. I do think he looks like Seth Rogen. Holy shit. I could not have timed that any better. Wow. CTM, I've been listening since 2011, just thanking you for helping me through a breakup with my future ex-wife and my Monday work schedule. Stay healthy and keep doing you. Love from Iowa. Well, thank you. I'm sorry to hear that you're going through some troubles right now, but I'm here every week. I'm not going nowhere. Brian Becerra with the $20. I really enjoyed the main event. Thank you, Brian. Lifter with a couple of super chats. Asuka is Triple H of 2002. Push somebody new. See, it's already starting. The Asuka backlash. You keep putting her out there for multiple matches on pay-per-views, people are going to get sick of her. This is what happens. Mr. Uzi says, Bobby Lashley versus Bobby Lashley. Okay. CTM again. I meant ex-future wife. Also, Mad Bro, Sad Bro, ex-future wife. Okay. Jared M. Jared always joins us. Jared with the $25. Thank you. I appreciate that. Lord Frieza. I enjoy the Roman match. Him being a heel is one of the reasons why I try to peep the show. But other than that, Solid Monster is the one doing God's work by watching Raw and SmackDown. Well, SmackDown was easy to watch this week. Raw was just a fucking bore. Domination Warrior, best wrestling show of the decade. NXT, AEW, or Lucha Underground? That's tough because that would include all of the early years of NXT, which I really enjoyed. Boy, that's tough. Best show of the decade. I probably would go Lucha Underground. I loved Lucha Underground. It was different, the characters on that show that they introduced me to, the look of the show, the feel of the show, even the commentary. Matt Stryker together with Vampiro, I enjoyed them. Stryker could be a little obnoxious, but I'd go Lucha Underground. Teddy C with the $2, thank you. Hyronix. Just change the 24/7 title to a promo belt. You win the belt by making the champion corpse on camera. Lifter, they buried Drew. Needed 10 men interfering to win. Well, that's probably why Orton is going to want a rematch next month. So that's why I think we're getting a cell match. Robert Kaplinger, can you give my girlfriend Karen Hernandez a shout out for watching the raffle for me while I was working Uber Eats. Well, shout out to Karen. The contest is over, so I don't know if Karen is still watching. But Karen, if you are watching, thank you for tuning into the stream and helping a brother out. Robert appreciates it. Monster Balls. Shayna Baszler is very sexy. I would marry her. Oh, I think we may have just found the father then. And Oz and Glorious with the $5. Could not care less about WWE, but I know all about it thanks to the man who keeps us sane, the Sala Monster. Well, we got a lot of people who don't watch WWE, but they tune into all of the streams and they keep up with everything through this podcast. You are in good company. I don't know if that's a good thing so much for WWE, but it's a great thing for me. So, Monster Balls again, Clash of Champions. Better than watching Giants and Jets games today, yes. Giants, Jets, Mets, and all the rest. Who needs them? Casey DeMos, good WWE pay-per-view tonight. It's been a while since I said that. As always, your shows keep my spirits up through this very difficult time without a home. Yeah, you know, I think you mentioned that the other day, and I was very sorry to hear that. So, hey, like I just told the other guy, you know you can count on the show every Sunday and the streams every week. So as long as you keep listening, I'll be here. And Paul Hamilton with the $50 super chat bomb here on the stream. Was it me or did Big Show look a little bit like a thinner version of King Kong Bundy? I guess he did. You see, I don't see it just because King Kong Bundy had a very weird body shape. Gorilla Monsoon used to call him the walking condominium. And that was a very accurate description. Well, I mean, Gorilla Monsoon was great. But he called him the walking condominium. He looked like Humpty Dumpty. King Kong Bundy looked like a giant egg. It was like an egg on top of a bigger egg. Big Show is not quite as wide as King Kong Bundy. But I guess with the shaved face and the bald head, I guess I could see that. But definitely he does not have the same body shape that King Kong Bundy had. So I can't necessarily say that they look identical. And Casanova King with the $20. Buy or sell on the more important WrestleMania match, Rock versus Hogan or Warrior versus Hogan? I don't know that either one was important. I think they did well, like box office wise, sold a lot of tickets. They were big attractions, but did they have long-term implications on the company? Not really. I think that was the hope with the Warrior. Warrior got almost a year with the belt and they took it off him and put it right back on Hogan. So it's not as if Warrior wasn't already a star before he beat Hogan. I mean, maybe he was a slightly bigger star after that, but it's not like, hey, we just crowned the new guy who's going to take the torch and run for the next 5 years. It went right back to Hogan. Hogan Rock. Rock was on his way out. They called it the present against the future. The future, I mean, Rock was already 1 foot in the Hollywood door. So he didn't really spend too much time with the company after that. And Hogan, you know, again, it was a big attraction, but I don't know that I would call either match overly important. I mean, there are matches you could look at. Bret Hart versus Steve Austin. That was an important match. You know, there are matches you could look at like that made guys. I wouldn't say that either one of these were important. Which one do I think maybe was the bigger attraction? You know, it's hard for me to vote against Hogan Warrior. I was a young fan back then. That was a big deal to me. Oh, boy. Both in the same building, too. I don't think I can put Rock Hogan over Warrior Hogan. And I called Rock Hogan on the podcast today a 5-star match. I did say that. But it's the little kid in me. I don't think I can vote against Warrior versus Hogan. Naima Khan, just imagine dancing to getting slapdick on your brand. Yeah, let's see those Fox executives dancing up and down when they get T-Bar. What's Mercedes Martinez's name again? Retaliation. Fox got retaliation. Oh, joy. Hey, we got slapdick. Let's do a cartwheel. Yeah, put that on TV. And Ricardo, did you get a chance to see WWE's Untold with Cena and Edge? I highly recommend it. No, I did not watch it yet. I'm in the middle of watching the Broken Skull Sessions with Kurt Angle. I'm only about 40 minutes in. It's like an hour and 45 minutes. It's great so far. It really is. Kurt is, he's telling all kinds of stories. They got some great footage. That they actually have footage in there of him training when he first was signed with Dory Funk Jr. in the ring. And Dr. Tom Pritchard is there. So they have that. It's really good so far. And I'm not even done with it yet. So I'll have to get to that at some point. But definitely, I'm not done with it, but definitely check out that Broken Skull Sessions if you haven't seen it yet. Because so far, so good. It looks pretty damn good. Honestly, all of them, I have to tell you, all of them have been very enjoyable. All the interviews that Austin has done so far. Big Show, Goldberg, Undertaker, Flair. They've all been great. He's got to get The Rock in there. Somebody tell Austin he's got to get The Rock in there. They got The Rock on the Broken Skull. I know The Rock is a busy guy, but you got to get The Rock on the Broken Skull Sessions. You see the phone number on your screen. If you want to try to call in, I'm only going to have, you know, 6 or 8 lines open. We'll take a few calls. I don't want to go too late here. If you want to give it a shot, lines are not active yet. That's the phone number on your screen, 989-282-SOLO. If you want to try to give a call, if it's busy, you can keep trying. Jared Simmons, thank you for the $5. I became a fan of yours when I found you years ago on TV Tracks. What happened to, excuse me, what happened to Tracks? Well, he decided to go do other things. You know, he just decided that he had had enough and, you know, updating YouTube and videos that, you know, he had to edit and stuff like that. And he just decided that he wanted to go do other things. You know, Tracks was great. Tracks was a very big part of why a lot of people discovered my show in the first place. I already had an audience and he was a fan of my show and started running clips. We had, you know, an agreement and he had permission to run clips from other shows as well on his channel. It wasn't just mine, but he was that big of a fan of my show. He would listen every single week and he had more subscribers than I had. So, you know, it was kind of like a mutually beneficial type of thing. And I can't tell you how many people tell me, hey, I discovered your show through TV Tracks. But yeah, unfortunately, he had enough. And now he's on a Caribbean island somewhere. Sebastian Herbert, since Retribution already has Mace, they should name Mia Yim Lil Yim. More money, more problems. Sure, why not? Let's just make the whole group a joke. I'm serious. Maybe that's how you salvage Retribution. Maybe you just go all the way with it. They've been all over Twitter trying to be witty with their tweets and stuff. Maybe they could somehow bring that onto TV. So they're not walking around anymore like, you know, ooh, or like a little terrorist faction in the group, in the company. Maybe they can bring comedy into it. And they can just become an entertaining group. They're kind of in on the joke. They know they look ridiculous. They know they sound ridiculous. But they could turn it into like a funny thing. That might be the only way to salvage this. Just embrace it. Just go all the way with it. That might be the way to go. So we're all set up with the phones. We'll take some of your phone calls. I will read off more of your Super Chat questions if you have any. Keep sending them on in. And I will read them live here on the air. All right, 732, let's try to get through some of these calls swiftly so we can get through as many as we can. 732.
What's up, Zala Monster? How's it going?
Good.
Good, good, good. I just wanted to run a quick idea by you. I was watching the main event tonight, and just the chemistry, obviously, between the three guys in the ring was insane. So how would you feel about a pairing between the Usos and Roman as like a tribal chief, tribe sort of dynamic, you know?
So with the Usos, like, in a faction?
Yeah. And, yeah. Like, I feel like you could kind of go in a direction with them is, like, they could fight the New Day, another trio and trio sort of thing.
Maybe after, you know? That'd be tough to do after tonight. But, yeah, I mean, there was a time where I would have been down for that. In fact, I pitched that. I pitched that very idea. I think it was after right around WrestleMania 32, maybe, somewhere around there. I was hoping that they would turn him and you'd have this little Samoan dynasty kind of click. It could work now. I don't see them doing that. I just don't think that's... I don't know that Roman needs that. I really don't think that he needs a whole group around him. I would keep it just to him and Heyman right now. He's just kind of like, I don't need anybody else. I'm the guy. I'm the bulldozer. I don't need anybody else. Could it work? Yeah, I think it could work. It could definitely work. I just don't think that the timing is right for it.
Yeah, I guess I was just kind of looking like forward thinking sort of thing to see what pace is kind of next for him to bulldoze in a sense. I feel like Big E is like getting the quote unquote push, you know?
Big E, Matt Riddle, they're going to need guys that Roman can beat. They're going to need baby faces he can beat.
Yeah.
So I think you're probably looking at like a Riddle, someone like that next in line. And when I assume Daniel Bryan will be back at some point, unless he moves in the draft, I guess some guys are going to move. See, that's why it's kind of pointless to talk about all this right now, because in a few weeks, they're going to shake the rosters up and we may get a whole bunch of new baby faces on SmackDown for Roman to match up with. So we might want to start looking at the Raw roster and seeing who might be shifted over and who Roman could work with, because I think the rosters in a few weeks are probably going to look, well, they are going to look very different than they look right now.
That's true in a sense. And I think it's about damn time, honestly. I feel like the same guys are going at each other like this same week.
Oh,
over
every
and over
week.
And over again.
I feel like
Angel Garza's got to fight.
Having this in my nightmares. I'm seeing the same matches over in my nightmares every week.
Yeah. Same old shit, you know? Well, that's all I got for you. I appreciate it very much. Hope you have a good night.
Thank you. You too. Yeah. Every time I think about who's next for Roman, who's next for Drew. Now that we have dates for the draft, there's no point in even talking about who's next because we don't know who's going to be on the roster. So kind of renders it a little pointless. Let's go to 608.
Hey, Jason. This is TJ Silver from your chat. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing wonderful. You know what? I got to say, throughout all of these pay-per-views, I think tonight was really well. Thoroughly enjoyed tonight. I'd give it a 7 or 8 out of 10.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I did. I think earlier I said I'd probably go 7, 7.5, probably. The open.
Yeah, what would be your favorite match? I think for me it would be Roman. I don't want to be on here too long, obviously. But for me, with all the storytelling they're doing, I'm thoroughly enjoying everything that they've got with Roman.
Yeah, I mean, I probably enjoyed that the most, but the ladder match was crazy, like in a good way. The ladder match was just whacked out for some of the stuff they did. But the match I enjoyed the most was the main event. That was the one I was looking forward to the most, and I thought it delivered in every way that I would have hoped, in terms of furthering the story. Roman looking like a badass, the trash talking, I love that, you know, doing that mid-match. I can't say that there was any other match on the show that really impressed me more than that one. I mean, the ladder match did with some of the innovative stuff they did, but I enjoyed the main event more.
And what do you see? So where do you see Roman going from here? Do we see Jay and Roman again here at Hell in a Cell? Do we see, where do you think we see Roman here going in the future? Thank you for taking my call. I'll let you let me go. And I just wanted to ask you, I think it was a good show tonight. I'm thoroughly pleased.
Yeah, I agree. And like I just said before, as far as where Roman goes, I'm just bringing up the Raw roster because I want to see something here. But I would not mind running Jay again. You've got Big E. I think it's too soon. I don't think you want to put Big E in there yet with Roman. I think Big E, he still has unfinished business with Sheamus, so obviously that issue is not done. Matt Riddle would probably be the most likely. And Matt Riddle just lost. He just lost to King Corbin on TV, so they're going to have to come up with an explanation if he ends up being number one contender. But I think the draft is going to end up... I'm just looking at the Raw roster. I want to see who could potentially move over that they could match up with, or who's a big enough name even, that they could match up with Roman Reigns. Rey Mysterio, you know, his injury was not expected to be that serious, so he'll probably be back in the ring in another month or two. Do you move Ray? If so, do you move Dominic? I would move Ray just to get him the fuck away from Seth Rollins. I mean, how much longer is this going to go on for? These people are obsessed with each other. So could you do Roman Reigns and Rey Mysterio? You know what? I like that match. Rey Mysterio, Roman Reigns could bounce Rey Mysterio from pillar to post. Remember that Survivor Series back when Roman was in the Shield? It was probably Survivor Series 2013, I'm guessing. And I think it might have come down to Roman and Rey Mysterio. And I remember Roman cut this guy in. I mean, he cut this fucking guy in half with a spear. I think Roman and Rey could be a fun match. Just to see Rey get just bounced around. So maybe Rey Mysterio, if he were to move in the draft, he could be one possibility. Kevin Owens could benefit, I think, from being moved as well. But then that would put Kevin Owens back on the same roster with Sami Zayn. And I think they just need to be separated for a while. So, yeah, I mean, maybe Rey is the one. Rey's a ready-made main eventer. You could always move him over and you could do that match. I think that's definitely a possibility. I just don't see very many other babyface options right now on that Raw roster if they were to move over to SmackDown. Let me just see here. Who's left? Who's left on this list? You moved Dominic. Yeah, put Dominic in there with Roman. Who is left? Boy, these rosters. My God. Oh, these poor people. The way they... What the booking has done. I'm looking at some of these faces and what the booking has done to some of these people. My God, it just makes me shake my... Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, if anybody moves, I think Rey would probably make the most sense. I think that could be a fun match to watch. Let's see here. On the caller end, we'll go to 657. What's your question?
Hey, Solomon Monster. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to give you two names for Roman.
Mm-hmm.
One from SmackDown and one from Raw. And I want to get your thoughts.
Sure.
The first one is Jeff Hardy.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
The second one is Keith Lee.
Jeff Hardy and Keith Lee. I'm glad you brought up Jeff. And thank you for the call, by the way. I'm glad you brought up Jeff. I can't believe I forgot. I just talked about this on the podcast earlier. It tells you where my mind is. Yes, Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy is the one who's currently on SmackDown who would make the most sense to put in there with Roman. I know Jeff just lost tonight, but it's a ladder match. He didn't get pinned. But now you've gotten the Intercontinental title off of him, and I wonder if that's part of the reason why they did that. Now that he's free of the Intercontinental title, you don't have to keep feuding him with Sami Zayn. Jeff can now move on. Maybe he wins a number one contenders match, but he can now move on to challenge Roman Reigns. Roman needs baby faces to mow down. You want to solidify the heel turn, you've got to put him in the ring with people who have sympathy. You've got to put him in the ring with people who people like. So you got him in there with his own family member. He killed his own cousin. If you don't do that match again, and Jimmy's not ready, so you're not going to do that match, Jeff Hardy is very well liked by the fans. He's a big fan favorite. He's coming off a run as the Intercontinental Champion. You could absolutely put Jeff Hardy in there with Roman Reigns. And he would be a babyface that Roman can run down. And you might even be able to get more than one match out of it. So Jeff Hardy and Rey Mysterio, if Rey moved, are definitely two names. And then Matt Riddle could be another. You know, Daniel Bryan when he comes. I mean, there are some names. As I look ahead and I book out Roman's opponents over the next 3, 4, 5 months, you know, before not up to WrestleMania, but a few months before WrestleMania, they've got some options. They definitely have some options that they could go with. 908, what's your question?
Solomonster, how you doing?
That's me.
I just wanted to let you know this Roman Reigns match. I know everybody's saying that it's a great match and all that, but I don't find him good at all. This guy, he comes in, yeah, with a new look, and he looks better and all that. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, let's see what, you know, something may be good out of this. This guy still only does his 2-3 moves. This guy's weak when it comes to wrestling offense. He has no arsenal. He's like Cena or Goldberg. And that's why I believe a lot of people boo Cena, because he has no arsenal. So, to me, I just wanted to say that Roman, to me, is still the same. And you put him up against these guys that he's just going to, like you say, mow down. Like, put him against somebody that's going to be competitive. like Keith Lee. He'd be a good match, but I don't see that happening.
Well, they might. I mean, it's still early. He's only been back for a month. So I don't mind them doing the family story first before they start feeding bigger names to him. But the thing with Cena, you say that's part of the reason in your view why people booed him. It might be a small reason. I think the real reason that people resented Cena was the whole idea that he was the chosen guy who was going out there and being the corny babyface. Even his dialogue, even his promos changed. If you remember Cena from SmackDown with the chain gang and everything, at least that now you could say that even then it wasn't very cool. But looking back on it, it is kind of cringy. But that was a cooler version of Cena. And you look at the Cena in 2006, 2007, 2008, very different John Cena. I think if there would have been a little bit of an attitude change, it doesn't matter if the guy can't do the same moves that Daniel Bryan could do, he would have won a lot of fans over by doing that. Sometimes it's just a small change in the character. It's a small change in the promos. I mean, I don't know, what if not Roman Reigns, then who would you have in the spot? If it's a matter of he doesn't know enough moves, well, who in the company right now has so many more moves that they could just replace Roman that spot?
It's like this. I mean, Roman, yes, it's not just about moves. I'm thinking, why can't this guy just add a little more arsenal?
Well, he did tonight. He just busted out a leg lariat tonight.
Yeah, he has one leg move.
There you go.
The one rough rider.
Well, he's going to save it. But he's going to save it. He's going to save all the new moves, like his music, right? He's saving the music. So maybe he's going to save the next big move for the next. We'll get like one new move per pay-per-view. Maybe the next time he'll do like a 450 splash off the top or something. You never know.
If he starts doing that, I'm going to be like, all right, that's being good. But if he still comes up with this, I'm going to do my couple punches, my one Samoan drop, my spear. I'm going to be like, all right, this is why I never like seeing it. It's like, it's always the same. It's like you're seeing the same match every time with just different wrestlers. But that's it. I'm not going to rag on
that. But that's WWE.
I just wanted to get your opinion because I love your opinions, Salamasta. You're like a Brian Alvarez. You're like a Simon Miller from War Culture. So I value your opinion.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I think that as time goes on, I think he's going to start to incorporate things that he wasn't doing before. There's moves that he shouldn't be doing. He's a big guy. So I don't want to see Roman Reigns. I mean, I'm sure you heard my rant on dives recently, the bigger guys who do dives. We saw Jey Uso do dives tonight.
Yep.
Okay, fine. That's what the Usos do. I get that. I don't want to see Roman Reigns doing dives. I don't want to see Roman Reigns doing moves off the top rope. Roman Reigns is a brawler who should be doing power-like moves. That's his arsenal. If you look back at a Stone Cold, did Stone Cold really have a lot of moves? What did Stone Cold Steve Austin do, even pre-neck injury, right? I know his style, he had to become more of a brawler after he got hurt. But if you really look at his arsenal, right, it was mostly punches and stomps. Yeah. But he was so over that he didn't have to do much more than that, right? But that's all it was. He would punch, he would stomp, he would do the Luthez press. He would do the stunner, people would go nuts, he'd drink beer, and he'd leave. It's not as if he had this whole arsenal of moves. The Rock didn't have this whole arsenal of moves. So I think sometimes we look at that and, you can look at a Bret Hart or a Daniel Bryan, but it's almost unfair. Because not everybody can be, like that, where they have this whole, bag of moves that they can kind of dip into. Roman, I think, would be good to incorporate a few new ones, but I wouldn't radically change what he does. I actually will give Roman credit for this, too. I'll give Roman credit for this. And I noticed it during the match tonight. There are some people in wrestling over the years who throw a great work punch. And I've mentioned Bret Hart by name. I think Bret Hart threw a great punch. Jerry Lawler maybe throws the best punch of any wrestler that I've ever seen. Even I'd give Jeff Jarrett credit too. Jeff Jarrett throws a good punch. Scott Hall. Roman Reigns throws a great punch. So even though maybe he relies on it a little too much, when he throws that punch, the way he throws it, the sound it makes, it looks like a devastating move. I'm not talking about the Superman punch because I just think that's goofy. I mean just throwing a regular punch. So I don't really mind that so much.
Yeah, It's like, to me, it's like he's got, like, the look, no doubt. I think that's why he should go to Hollywood. He's got the look. He's got getting the mic skills a little better. I'm like, dude, you just got to add, like, a German suplex, a regular suplex, or even a body slam. So easy. Like, and it would make such a world of difference. But, you know, I feel like he's almost there. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Thanks, yep. Donald Monster. Appreciate you.
Cool. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I appreciate the kind words. And let's not forget, too, we haven't seen him use it yet, but Roman also has that, what's it, the sit-out power bomb that he does. So he's got a few tricks up his sleeve. And God bless John Cena. He tried. But that springboard stunner needed to be retired on day one. It's one thing to try new things, but when you try new things and they look like shit, you're kind of defeating the purpose. Then you don't need to be trying new things anymore. 707, what's your question?
Hey, Saul Monster. First, before I ask my question, I just want to say I love your show. I think you do great deliveries when WWE does something stupid. I get really giddy when you criticize WWE the way you do. I think you're great.
Thank you.
So my question is, so when Roman gets a new theme song, you might have been asked this before, but if he gets a new, should it have lyrics, or do you think it should be a new instrumental theme?
That's a good question. I think it would be cool if it had lyrics. There is actually, if you've never heard it before, there is actually a Roman Reigns theme song with lyrics. It's on YouTube. I would credit the person who did it, but I don't have their name. It's basically just the current Roman Reigns theme, but the guy added lyrics to it, and he's just talking about how he thinks Roman looks handsome, and it's like a parody. I wouldn't.
Oh, is it where it goes? Roman Reigns, something that one.
Yeah, I think that might be the one. So I,
yeah.
While I do find that very funny, I would not have him come to the ring to that. But I think if they could come up with, like, I don't know if it would be a rap song or. I mean, you could do anything, really. I think it's probably going to have lyrics. I mean, the way he's talking about it, how they've worked on it, he's got a new song in mind. That sounds to me like it's probably going to have some lyrics to it.
I'm looking forward to it. Whatever. I'm just, you know, as much as I love the Shield music, he should have retired that music like 3-4 years ago. He needs something new.
Well, it's about time. We're finally getting it.
All right, well, thank you, Saul Monster. Thank you for your time. I've been meaning to call you for a long time now. I love your show, and I hope to do this again sometime.
Awesome.
Have a good night, man.
Yeah, definitely. Call back in. I'm glad you got through. We only have a few lines open. We'll do a few more, and then we'll get out of here. So, again, any final super chats, get them in now, and I will acknowledge them and read them on the air and try to answer them as best I can. We had a few people come into the chat wondering if the raffle had already taken place. The answer is yes. I don't have the person's full name in front of me. Was it Temujin Johnson? I forgot the person's name. Unless your name started with a T, you are not the winner. But this will be available for streaming when I am done here. So if you missed the raffle, you will have the chance to go back and check it out if you missed it. Let's go to... Let's try 336... What is your question?
Hello, sir.
Hello.
I was wondering, who do you see Roman going against at Mania season? For me personally, the Fiend has been ruined, to me at least.
Mm-hmm.
Like, losing at, it started with the Goldberg, and then I didn't count Mania as a big victory, considering it was a, you know, special type of match, and I just don't care to see the Fiend job to Roman. So I was wondering, who do you see him going against come Mania, if he is still the champion?
Yeah, I think he will still be the champion, at least until Mania. I hadn't even thought of doing the Fiend match there. I figured they'd probably blow it Survivor Series or Royal Rumble. I mean, after the tease with Alexa Bliss, they're leaving that issue open. So obviously the Fiend is going to get a rematch. If not at Mania, I talked earlier today, The Rock was asked about if he were to get back in the ring, who would he like to wrestle? And if The Rock got back in the ring, it would only be a WrestleMania. And he dropped Roman Reigns. So I don't think the match is going to happen, because I just don't think Rock is going to be able to do it. He may want to do it, but with all of his commitments and stuff, I don't think he's going to be able to. But Rock is probably on the list of possibilities, and that would be a big match. They can continue the whole Samoan thing. I mean, who bigger than The Rock, right? In that whole Samoan clan? Roman is talking about how he's the one at the head of the table, so you put Roman and Rock, this version of Roman, in there with him. That could be a big match. We don't know where Brock Lesnar stands. Brock Lesnar is not under contract to WWE. I fully expect him to be back with WWE probably next year. Maybe in time for WrestleMania. Do you do Rock and do you do Roman and Brock again? I mean, we've already seen that match two different times at Mania. But never with Roman as the heel. And Brock is the babyface. But it is intriguing because where does Paul Heyman's allegiance lie? So I think Brock Lesnar has to be considered on that list. The Rock, probably less likely, but he's probably on the list. And then if I were to throw one more name out from the current roster, I would throw Daniel Bryan out there. I believe that Daniel Bryan could be built back up. Because he was kind of hovering around the Intercontinental right level for a while. I think you could build him right back up to a match. I think there's a story there that takes you all the way back to 2015. There's a great story to be told, and you could save a match like that for WrestleMania. So those are a few of the names I would throw out there at you. Those are matches that I'd like to see. 317.
Yo, Solid Monster, what's going on?
I'm talking to you. What's going on?
Looking at the Roman situation, mm-hmm. I'm actually enjoying like the whole heel turn with everything that he's doing. I like the whole like aggressive nature of it. To me, and maybe it's because I'm an old school fan, it reminds me of Diesel. I mean, they're a little bit late to pull the trigger, but it's like when you look at Diesel, how everybody rejected him, how he tried to incorporate everything that everybody was doing. And then around late 95, early 96, he was just like a badass dude. Beat the hell out of everybody. Showed no mercy. He didn't have to do 50 moves.
Yeah, he would only smack the black gloves. If you had a black glove on in the crowd, he would give you a fist bump, and if not, he would walk right by you.
And that's exactly what Roman needs to do. Like, he doesn't have to have a Mortal Kombat move list of moves. He just need a few moves, and he just has to go out there and just beat the hell out of people.
And talk
just
shit. That's all he has to do.
Be the bully.
Yeah. Talk trash.
That's all he has to do. And it's like, if they can keep up with that, he can be, I don't want to say he could be the new Diesel, but that's pretty much the blueprint right there. Just kick ass, take no, show no mercy. And they got somebody in, like you said earlier, just feed him guys and build them up. And I think they got something good on them, on their hands until they get to a Roman versus The Rock or a Roman versus Goldberg, and then once he beats one of them, then you have your next big guy come up and knock him off.
Well, you just mentioned
we get us two new guitars.
Yeah, you just mentioned something I hadn't thought about, which is the issue is still open with Roman and Goldberg. They were supposed to have a match at WrestleMania this year, and it didn't happen. And they're still kind of talking shit. Goldberg was talking about him. They have that college football rivalry they love talking about. Goldberg is signed until 2023. He's contracted to have two matches per year in WWE. It is safe to say that at some point between now and the end of his deal, he will very likely get in the ring with Roman Reigns. So I would put his name on that list as well as a possibility. It was supposed to be WrestleMania 36. Maybe they do it instead, Battle of the Spears at WrestleMania 37. Or if they want to save it for a Saudi show, I guess they could do that too, but I had forgotten about Goldberg. I know. I had forgotten about Goldberg though. So yes, you could definitely, that is a match that I will guarantee you is going to happen at some point.
This is the opportunity, man. That's all they got to do is pull the trigger. And this time actually have the person go over the legend so they become the star.
That
was all I was going to say. I'm out. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. I had completely forgotten about, Billy Boy. Oh, yeah, we're going to get Roman and Goldberg at some point, all right. I just don't know if it's going to be at WrestleMania or if it's going to be in Saudi Arabia. That I'm not sure about. We got a super chat from Monster Balls, $2.99. Chinese food or seafood? Oh, Chinese food. All night and all day Chinese food. I got the best Chinese restaurant in the world. Thankfully, they're still delivering in my neighborhood here. I'd be very sad if I ever moved away because I would be missing out on their Chinese food. I would drive back into Brooklyn just to go there to get Chinese food. That's how good it is. Seafood, I'm not a seafood guy. I'll have shrimp. I'll have a little bit, but I don't really have a palate for seafood, you know? Anything I have to break open with my hands, I'm not a fan. Not lobster, no. I've tried oysters. I will say this. When I went to WrestleMania in New Orleans, and it's really a shame what's happening now with COVID, because I saw there was a report, there's a lot of restaurants in New Orleans and some famous spots on Bourbon Street. Maybe people who live in Louisiana can chime in and maybe either correct me or back me up on this, but there's a lot of places that are out or that are on the brink of going out. And I'm talking like famous places that you would find restaurants like on Bourbon Street and stuff, like places that I probably ate at when I was in New Orleans for WrestleMania 30, WrestleMania 34. New Orleans is one of the most fun places that I was able to travel to. And the food down there is tremendous. So the first time I ever had char-grilled oysters was in New Orleans. I think it was a restaurant inside of a hotel. I think it was called Drago's. And that was amazing. But in general, I don't know a lot about seafood. I just was never really exposed to it. So I'm a Chinese guy all the way. Take me down to Chinatown and I'm a happy guy. Just don't take me to, Wuhan? For the time being, we'll stay away from there. 469.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. I wanted to ask about Bayley and Sasha Banks.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And I was thinking, I think Sasha Banks should win the title like maybe at some kind of a fast lane before the pay-per-view. And, you know, there's a joke with Sasha Banks never winning a title defense, and maybe make that a moment as a WrestleMania moment where she finally wins a title defense.
I've had a few people write into me suggesting the same idea, that she should win the title right before WrestleMania and not at WrestleMania. And I mean, obviously, they're not waiting until WrestleMania. They're going to do the match next month, and it is what it is. But I disagree with that. I understand that she's been mocked for years because she wins a title and loses it a few weeks later. You could do that story after WrestleMania. So let's just say hypothetically, right, that they can continue this on until WrestleMania. Okay, and if they're going to do the first match at Hell in a Cell, I don't know that they can do that. But if they did the first match at WrestleMania, you know there's going to be a rematch. So the story is there for the rematch. If you're going to do the big title change, you got to do that at WrestleMania. You can't do it at Fastlane. You can't do it a month before. You can't do that. You got to do it. I mean, Bayley by then would be champion for like 400 or 500 something days. When she drops that title, that's the moment. And that moment should be at WrestleMania. The story will be there coming out of Mania that, oh yeah, you won the belt, but I bet you can't defend it. And then whatever the next pay-per-view is, Extreme Rules or something, then they could play out that story. But I hate this idea that let's have Sasha win the belt a month before WrestleMania. And then the big story is, well, okay, you won it, but I bet you can't defend it. To me, that's not the story. The big moment is her winning the championship and Bayley's run coming to an end. And that should be a big deal. You got to do that on the biggest show that you can possibly do it on. So I'm just not really a fan of that idea.
No, I got you. But there is one thing that I've been waiting for. When Bayley turns face, I really want her to, you know, fix up those inflatable tube guys. That'll be awesome. I think that's all I got. That's all I want to.
Oh, I miss the wacky waving inflatable tube men. It's
Yes, I miss them.
Yeah. Well, you're not the only one. I miss them quite a bit as well. So hopefully she cut them all up. Okay. So we're gonna have to she cut them all up. So we're gonna have to get some new ones at some point. KC, you said I missed your super chat. Did I miss it? Oh yes, you're right. You are correct. I skipped right over it. KC DeMost, what is your all-time favorite show that you have ever done? Mine is still the King of the Ring episode. It's funny. One of the episodes everybody used to talk about was episode... let me just change this back to the phone number. Was episode 127, which was 10 years ago this week, which is where I did my WWE business plan. I just talked about this in the podcast today. So if you want to recap what was going on in WWE in 2010 and what my business plan was for the company and who I would bring in and the things I would do, I recapped all of it on episode 671 earlier this afternoon. That would be on the list. I enjoyed doing that show. But my favorite episode of the Sound Off I've ever done was Sound Off 495. Which was the Mother's Day Madness episode from May of, it would have been probably 2017. It had to be 2017 because it was the year before she died. So yeah, probably Mother's Day 2017. You know, I don't know why it took me so long. I've been doing the Sound Off pretty much every Sunday since 2007. And Mother's Day is on a Sunday every year. And it wasn't until then that I said, you know what, I want to try to get my mother on the show, because I had talked about some of her health struggles and stuff. I felt like people knew her already, so why not bring her on the show one time and people can hear her, and I could, you know, ask her wrestling questions and see what she knows or what she remembered, because she would watch, like when I was a kid she would watch with me and stuff. So I had her on the show, and it wasn't the whole show, it was only for like 25-30 minutes. But, you know, it was like a little interview, little conversation, a little bit of trivia, and it was great. And she did great on the trivia portion. I'm still very impressed to this day that she did as well as she did on the trivia portion. And I've had people write in and tell me that that's their favorite episode, too. I listen to it every year. So that would be mine, episode 495 from, again, I think it was May of 2017. And she passed away the following March of 2018. So that will probably, for personal reasons, always be my favorite episode of the show. I'm really happy I got that show done. Really happy I got it done. And sorry that we couldn't make it an annual thing, because that was my plan. I was going to bring her back the following year, and we would kind of make it like a once-a-year annual type thing. And unfortunately, I didn't get that chance. Let's do 443.
Hello?
443, I hear you.
Hey, it's Kyle. How you doing?
Hey, Kyle.
So one thing two matches I was really looking forward to, well, interested in, was the women's tag team title match didn't even happen. Do you have any idea why that didn't happen tonight?
All we know is that the women's tag team title match was off because Shayna and Nia were taken off and Nikki Cross was taken off. We don't know why. They didn't announce why. It probably has something to do with COVID concerns. Maybe they were around people that might be exposed. I don't think that they are necessarily sick. My guess, which is all it is that it's probably COVID related and they just felt like we have to keep them off the show. So that's all we know at this point. We don't know. We don't even know that. That's just me assuming. We don't know for sure exactly why they were off, but I think we can probably draw our own conclusions.
Yeah, because Liv Morgan earlier was tweeting about it then, and the title match is off, and it was like very shocking. So my main question though is about, you know, the Sasha Banks Bayley thing. I enjoyed that portion. That it was really, that's my main highlight of the show, you know, was that beat that was Sasha. It was good to see. I was kind of hoping to see Sasha come out. I really thought she was going to be the opponent. It was another one. I was like, we're going to do the match right now.
Oh, my God. I was worried about that, too. I said, you watch these SOBs. They're just going to do the match right now. They'll have her win the title right now. Hey, why not? Let's just blow the whole thing off now in an impromptu match. Sure, why not?
I really wasn't assuming that, but I'm kind of glad to see her show up and then looking forward to that match for Hell in a Cell inside the Cell and have her win, have her retain over and over and over again. So I'm just looking forward to that match or next month, really. But yeah, I was just really fascinated. It was like no one but title match. I was really intrigued about that match itself because I was hoping that, the Riot Squad will pick up the shocked win because I really want them to win. But overall, the show for me was, it was okay enough. I did enjoy the ladder match and I did enjoy the main event like everybody else did all night. So, but yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on the women's stuff because I just found that interesting and really cool. The Sasha beat the crap out of her. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that was going to probably happen, but I was kind of hoping that they would keep Sasha out a little bit longer, just try to get closer to the Rumble WrestleMania season, take the next 2-3 months to put somebody else, have Bayley beat a few more people, then have Sasha make like a big surprise return. But, they want to go right in. They want to go right into it. So it is what it is.
And for me personally, I thought it would have been a little bit too long to me personally, because what they're doing on Snap is way better than what they're doing on Raw with Asuka. I know people may like Asuka and everything, but her as the champion has never personally worked, at least for me. I liked her matches with Sasha and with Becky and everything like that, but her character, I don't understand it. I'm not a fan of it, and she's just not doing it for me. I hope Bianca Belair takes the title away from her. She's doing vignettes with her now on Raw.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're better building her up for a potential championship win from when she faced Asuka at the plate. So I think that's what they're leaning to over on Raw. So I look forward to that. But yeah, for me, this Asuka as the champion, especially with Sasha and Bayley throughout the entire rest of the year, has been a complete a crap fest on Raw with her being a champion compared to Sasha and Bayley anyway of the storyline. So
yeah,
that's how I feel about it. Again, a lot of people like Asuka, but you have to face the facts here. This is the better storyline on SmackDown than Sasha's doing. So that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, and I'm going to let you go. But yeah, I mean, it's clearly the best story of all the women right now in the company. I don't think there could be any debate about that. It's been going on for a long time. There's a history there between them, and it's going to be a big deal when they finally get in the ring together. You brought up Bianca Belair, and they started running vignettes on TV this week showing her working out in the gym. So now we're finally getting to a point where she's coming back to TV. And absolutely, she could be built up as a contender for Asuka. She should be built up as the one to take the title from Asuka. Bianca Belair is very good. And she would feel fresh, and she would be a new, younger face from that developmental system on TV. She is the perfect person to build up for a shot at Asuka, assuming she stays on Raw. It would be kind of funny if she moved to SmackDown and won the title. Well, I guess that's not going to happen, but I think one of the predictions I made on the prediction show in January, I think, was that Bianca Belair would be on the main roster and she would be a champion on the main roster, not NXT, before the year was over. And I think I might have said SmackDown. If she wins the title on Raw, I'll be at least partially right. So yes, I am rooting for a Bianca Belair victory. All right, listen, guys, we've been here a long time. I appreciate everybody who has stuck with me. I'm going to be back with you live again on YouTube Wednesday. I guess that'll be the last stream of the month of September. I will see you on Wednesday. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you for all your support. Have yourselves a great night. And I will see you again very soon here on YouTube. Take care, guys.